Hello, good morning and welcome. My name is Graham and I'm delighted to be with you all today as we start these journeys into asking what it is to be really free. Free from constraints and conformity, free from constant testing and peer pressure, and free from unsafe and uninspiring school environments. Free to let children explore the world around them through play, cooperation and inspiration. Free to let children learn naturally, following their innate curiosity and endless creativity.
We come to see that learning isn't about doing well at school, it's about engaging with life.
I'll be here for you, and I will serve you, and I will carry your message.
When we finally arrive at the understanding that life is for living, and this world we inhabit is indeed our classroom, a deep sense of peace can be gained. When we find out there is no set place to arrive or a test waiting at the end, something shifts and we can see this learning adventure for what it truly is. When the financial crisis hit back in 2008, many were dismayed and lost hope, but our next guest saw this as an opportunity and decided to start a worldwide adventure that continues until today. Today, we have the pleasure of welcoming Lainey Liberty from Project World School to the show. For me, the idea of world schooling is something all families can do in some form or another, whether it is taking a road trip for a couple of weeks or packing a backpack for 2 years. The joys that naturally flow from meeting new and exciting people on the road, experiencing diverse and enticing cultures, learning new languages, the possibilities are endless and offer great insights into who we are. So thank you so much for being here today, Lainey. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. I do like to start off these talks just with a quick introduction to your own personal education, how you look back on that now. Do you have any fond memories? Do you feel that you had a good grounding for where you are now, and do you find anything that you use today that you learned back then?
Well, you know, I've done a lot of interviews and I don't think I've ever been asked that question, and I think you may be a little surprised with my answer.
Okay.
So I was a really good student when I was much younger, and the reason why was I had a photographic memory when I was younger, and I basically learned that I could, and I'm holding air quotes up, I can play the system by reading what I needed to read right before the test and ace it, you know, 100%. And then as quickly as I learned it, the information would go away. Right. So for me, my relationship, so I did this all throughout, before college, you know, so K through 12, I did this, and I could tell you, I didn't learn anything. Right. For me, it was a game. And so my relationship to education was a system that we were required to go through, and you could figure out ways, if you had the tools and tricks, to be able to move through it with much ease. And I didn't learn anything. Right. I can't remember. And talking to somebody who used to have a photographic memory, I am sadly to say it's gone. I don't have that skill anymore. But you know, speaking to somebody who moved through school in such a way where education to me was a game, and I found it ridiculous. The things that I was told to memorize and the things that I was tested upon, I found just absolutely ridiculous. But I must say, you know, I grew up, my parents were hippies, and I grew up, you know, in the 80s. That's when I went to high school, and 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. I was quite an activist, and I truly questioned everything. I questioned politics and peace and all of the other things that, you know, drove me and inspired me. But I never once questioned the education system until I became a parent. And I didn't even question that until I started traveling. And so that brings us up to where we are now.
Yes, that's just taken straight to the point of when people realize there is a problem. And I think, yeah, it does take a shift of perspective, whether it's travel or, yeah, having a child. And so you say you found the shift and you realized there was something different when your son was born or when he was growing into the formal modeling of school education?
Well, as I said, I questioned everything, but I never questioned education. So I put my child into traditional education, and he was there until fourth grade. He actually went to Montessori.
Okay.
Up till, you know, I guess third and fourth grade were traditional public school, and we were in Los Angeles. So the public school system, I don't think is that great. But because I never questioned education, I always believed that education was important because that was something I was told my entire life, and I believed it, and I never questioned that. I always believed that education was something that somebody gave to us. That we, you know, were not required, or not, I'm sorry, not qualified to educate ourselves. We needed a professional to educate ourselves, sort of like the sage on stage concept. Somebody stood on the podium and, you know, and preached this knowledge that only you can get from a teacher. And so I always believed that this was the way things were done and never, ever once questioned it. Now, when my son started public school, straight out of Montessori school is pretty self-paced and you go at your own rate, you know, mm-hmm. your own speed. And, you know, there is a program that you follow, but you finish one and you move on. And my son loved to read, absolutely loved it. And when he got to public education, his reading skill, his comprehension, and even his intelligence level, you know, was much beyond, you know, some of the other students. And so he would be given these assignments and he'd sit and finish up, you know, 15 minutes where it's supposed to take the whole hour. And so he'd open up his book and read when he was, he wasn't disruptive. And the teachers didn't like that. In fact, they said, you can't bring your books to school. And what they did to him was totally, I can't even believe they did this. They made this young boy tutor the other kids. And that put him in a position of, oh, you're the teacher's pet, you know, that sort of stuff.
Right.
And so it put him in a really bad position. And, you know, school was just boring for him. So, you know, the 2 years of public education that he went to weren't great. They weren't terrible, but they weren't great. And I certainly didn't think he learned absolutely anything, whether it's content, dates, or whatever. What he learned was to sit in a classroom and behave. That's really all he learned.
I definitely resonate with Myro's experience there. And yeah, it's looking him now on your TED talk, I see he's blossomed from these travels you've been doing. And I just wonder if you could tell us the decision process to leave. I know you say it was originally a year you planned to leave. Was there a real plan, or were you just literally, you packed your bags and just hit the road?
Well, I mean, it took some planning to get rid of all of our belongings, to, you know, all that stuff. But our rough plan was to start off in Mexico and somehow end up in Argentina.
Okay.
And I can tell you, we've just started our ninth year and we still haven't made it to Argentina.
Oh, I can tell you, definitely, please go. Yeah, it's a great place.
Oh, we will. We will. I mean, it's on our list. Everything is on our list. We're sort of bouncing around like a ball. I'm speaking to you from Bangkok right now. So,
okay. Are you as you travel now, do you do project? I know we're going to get into the Project World School. That's basically a culmination of all your travels. It's a fascinating project where you, well, if you can tell us, the listeners, a little bit about that and how it came into form.
Sure. So we left when my son at just turned 10 years old. And, you know, we learned so much, you know, both interpersonally and our relationship as a family and our relationship to the world. All of that changed. And we also discovered that there was something called unschooling. And once I started to read more about it, I realized that we were already doing it. We were unschoolers. Later, we transformed the term to use the term world schooling to describe our journey. But in essence, what happened was I started to write a lot about our educational and learning journey. And I, as a lifelong learner, was empowered to, you know, air quotes again, go back to school, go back to the world as my classroom, but, you know, go back to becoming a learner again. And I gave myself permission. And so I started writing about my son's journey, my journey, traveling, and how travel really enhanced our natural learning, our natural curiosity. The world was providing so much inspiration, and interests that we didn't have before suddenly were blossomed because they were in context and made sense and relevant to where we were and what we were doing. So all of those things happened, and all of those things were these discoveries that we were making. And as I started to write about these things, I was invited to write more, you know, at different magazines. And then, you know, I just started on my blog. And then finally, we started to speak at different conferences. And my son was 14 years old when we spoke at our first unschooling conference. And one, you know, at that time, moving into adolescence, the brain changes, more of social interaction becomes a priority, as well as other things, but it's really enhanced during the onset of adolescence. And as we went to this conference, my son connected with community, connected with kids his age that were natural learners, that were self-directed learners, that were unschoolers, that were, you know, had colored hair and wore crazy clothes. Yeah. Learn how to speak, you know, learn really how to speak from their heart and,
right,
you know, just really confident people. And he's like, wow, I found my tribe. I found my people. He's like, Mom, but I don't want to live in the States. I don't want to go back, but I want community, but I want to keep traveling. And that was the point where we decided we were inspired. I was like, fine, we were inspired. My son, you know, started feeling depression. I said, well, why don't we, you know, we're learning so much. Why don't we bring a group of teens and create community around the stuff that we're doing?
Right.
You know, so that was the birth of Project World School. That was more than 5 years ago. And we've been leading teen retreats. Since then, my focus has been on, you know, learning and really honing in. My son and I do this together. I didn't mean just me, because we both co-facilitate. We really have mastered developing, creating community, teamwork, you know, understanding the teen brain and development, and creating community. Oh, I just said that. Oh yeah, creating community. And learning in context the same way that we were learning. And we found that when you've got a community learning together very intentionally, you learn so much more, because one person knows something else,
right,
and supports something else, and there's other opinions, and, you know, it's like this big aha. And not only the experience that we're having, which is probably, you know, amazing anyway, it just becomes dimensionalized and rich with all of these other opinions and thoughts and ideas and information.
Sure. So the people that come on these retreats, they're from all over the world, or how does the application process work?
Yeah, they are. Primarily our audience is from the US. We've had a scattering. We've had a couple of kids from Poland. We've a kid from New Zealand, quite a few kids from South Africa. One from England, but most of them are the US.
Okay, and do you try and keep a mixture of abilities and ages? Is it, do you kind of vet the applications to try and form a sort of a retreat based on people's abilities?
Abilities, no, because everybody's got the ability to learn and create community, sure. And everybody has something to offer. But we do make sure that they're ready to be away from home.
Okay.
They're ready to step outside of their comfort zone. They're ready to push the boundaries. They're ready to question everything. They're ready to, you know, have an amazing experience that will help them grow. For example, we cater to adolescents. But we just finished up a retreat in Greece, and we have had our second 12-year-old join us.
Oh,
generally, we cater to 13, 14, up to 24, but this kid was ready, and he did great.
Wow.
So, you know, again, the numbers, we don't practice ageism. We, during our retreats and in community, there's no hierarchy of authority. I am a facilitator, but I agree to the same agreements. I do the same things. I do the same work. I volunteer. The other thing is we practice true consensus in our retreats, which is an incredible opportunity to practice negotiation and compromise and speaking up for your needs and empathy and, you know, all of the other things that goes into making a group decision. That's what consensus, you know, in order to achieve consensus, you have to have all of those skills. So we create forms to be able to practice all of those skills in community in a safe, sacred space while learning. We're about ready to step into the Thailand retreat, but, you know, my brain is still fresh with Greece. We were walking in the path of the centaurs and, you know, we were talking and exploring myth and looking at at everything around us and practicing archery and talking about, you know, all that stuff.
Wow. Yeah.
In context during the Greece retreat.
Right. Absolutely amazing. It does, really. I mean, just to get immersed in a culture and travel and meeting new people, it just sounds absolutely amazing to me. Do you actually go in with an objective? Is there a sort of, does the retreat have an end goal, or is it literally just to be there and experience?
Well, I would say that question is rather schoolish, and I do mean for it to rhyme with foolish. I mean, we're so accustomed to, you know, testing and evaluation to prove learning, and that actually doesn't prove learning. Intrinsic motivation and the changes that happen internally prove that you've learned something. Right. So no, there never will be a test, and there never is an end goal other than to form, create, and experience community and learn immersively from the world around you. Now, obviously, each retreat that we do, Peru looks very different than Thailand, and Thailand looks very different than living on an organic farm in Wales, and Mexico. Like, all of the places have their own unique cultural immersion strengths, or not just even strengths, but unique qualities that we truly explore.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I've just reassessed that question, and thank you. Yes, I've been de-schooled. That's great. Do you find it's mainly people from kind of alternative education backgrounds, families that are unschooling or homeschooling that sign up?
Well, that's who we target. That's who we're serving. Although the upcoming retreat that starts on Sunday, today is Friday, we actually have three kids that went to school. So this will be an interesting experience for us as facilitators to see. In my experience, and perhaps this is a belief system that needs to be, that's not true, but I believe that kids go to school have less experience making decisions on their own and all of this stuff that we, you know, because if you're told to sit in a class for, 8 hours a day, switch after 50 minutes, when you can go to the bathroom, when you need to eat, like, there's no sense of autonomy over yourself or your learning.
Sure.
And It'll be interesting for us to see if the teens that are coming that went to school are looking to be told what to do versus really embrace the empowerment of being able to co-create with the community. So that, you know, ask me in a month, I'll let you know.
Okay, definitely love to do that. Yeah, and just finally, what would you say to maybe parents that have got kids that are unhappy in their public school? They're looking for alternatives. They might have seen your TED talk, or they like the sound of Project World School. I mean, is there a process you think people need to go to be able to have confidence to really just trust their children that they can learn naturally themselves? What would you say are the first steps to maybe breaking away from the tradition?
Well, first of all, everybody's going to have an individual situation. So I don't know what that is as the starting point. But I would say, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have written down on a piece of paper what my beliefs are about education and made a list. It's this, 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 you know, going to school, you know, whatever that is. Education is this. And then I would make another list and write all of my, not just beliefs, but knowledge, experience about what it means to be a learner. Mm-hmm. And then finally, I would make a third list and even do that with your child and decide what you guys really want together as a family. I think education should be a family decision.
Right.
If the child's not happy, you know, what do you want? I could give you a quick list of some of the things that I defined that I wanted for my son after I did this process, if you're interested.
Yes, please. Yeah, definitely.
So I wanted my son to take responsibility for his own life path. I also wanted him to really discover a deep love of learning. I wanted him to have financial literacy. I wanted him to love to read. I wanted him to have experience with relationships and conflict resolution. I wanted him to practice problem solving. I wanted him to develop his character. And finally, I really wanted my son to develop a global perspective. And the reason why that was so high on my list is because I think, you know, these kids are our future, and we need more people with a global perspective and who understand empathy, who, these are the people that are going to create peace in the, yes, in the world that we're, you know, in our future.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, thank you. Thank you, Lainey. There's so much to for our listeners to go away and think about there. You're doing a great, great service. Definitely Project World School. I can only see you getting bigger, maybe even adult retreats. It just sounds amazing just to immerse yourself in archery and wander around, you know, the Greek islands, and then put yourself back in that time period. And yes, yeah, fascinating. Thank you so much. So yeah, could you just let our listeners know how to get in touch with you? That would be great.
Sure. Our website is Project World School, and we also host a World Schooling Summit for families. The next one will be in Guanajuato, Mexico, and that takes place January 29th through February 2nd, 2018, and you can get to all the information at World School Family Summit. .com. This year, our summit had 300 people. We had lots of kids, and everybody was talking about education and talking about how to redefine it.
Yeah, I think that's the conversation that needs to happen. And yeah, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
I hope you got as much out of that talk as I did. An excellent insight into the endless possibilities of how learning can look today. If you've been inspired by any of these great guests and would like us to reach more like-minded families looking for alternatives to school, please head over to iTunes, subscribe and leave us a positive review. And we'll see you real soon.
The new earth is beckoning now, calling us with this new song. Yeah, you gotta listen what it has to say. It will guide you along. Yeah, you gotta put yourself first every time, and she will catch you when you fall. Yeah, you gotta love yourself from within. Love yourself till you're full, yeah, yeah. You gotta take the power back.
Ask yourself this question: what is so amazing and wonderful at government-run schools that you would send your children there to be taught by essentially strangers a curriculum over which you have no authority or control? How would you like to be a part of your children's learning? You were a part of your children's learning as colors, how she ties her shoes, what is a butterfly, why mommy loves her. Why would you not want to continue to be a part of that?
Look at what you've been told for so long. Maybe they're not right, and maybe your instincts are right. Unlearn those things.
This is about human rights and endowing children with dignity and agency and autonomy. And then guess what? As a side benefit, it works.
We come to see that learning isn't about doing well at school. It's about engaging with life.